Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You rock. This is Wretched Radio. Some of you did your homework and you did it exceedingly well. You may recall last week I said, help! Trying to work on a presentation for young people who are dealing with deconstruction, the latest trend in evangelicalism. We used to call it apostasy, but now today we call it deconstructing the faith. And I want to think this thing through really well. And my current premise and I think the argument that I'm going to put forward to young people at Oklahoma University is you're not deconstructing reality. You're not deconstructing the real thing. And I think it would be helpful to give an illustration of that, but I couldn't think of one. So I asked you to come up with one, and you did. And they're really good. And I'm still waiting for all of them to come in. And I'm going to compile them. Really good stuff. Thank you. I am reminded again. There are a lot of smart people out there. And that's really scary and intimidating. So thank you for sending those in. Looking forward to this a lot. This fall, we're going to do a trial run to go to university campuses to see if kids will gather to hear an adult lecture. Not a gotcha. You look stupid, gonna get YouTube views sort of presentation. No, we go because we care about the kids. We go because we want the kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We want their lives to be better. We want them to live a life that has meaning because it's in alignment with reality as defined by God himself, which is always the better road to walk. And so we're going to these campuses. We're going to talk about different issues. I get to talk about deconstruction, and I appreciate so much that you sent these illustrations. They are going to be helpful. Young people do not know the basics. They are deconstructing pizza parties. They're deconstructing silly sermonettes that were delivered to them. And interestingly, one of the themes that I'm reading about, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, the whole idea of oppression, this cultural Marxist idea that there's two categories of people. There's the oppressor and there's the oppressed. And if anybody's oppressing you, which means they contradict you, they try to hold you back, you do not get to express your individual self, which is the best part of you. What's in there? You got to be able to show it. And anybody who tries to curb that, they're an oppressor and they're toxic and we need boundaries and we need to cut them off. So what does Christianity do? Well, it's got a lot of them there statements that say, this is what you're not supposed to do. And they find that to be a chief crime. It's about being told what to do that contradicts what I want to do. Because my feelings, they drive my reality. My feelings actually trump science, logic, reason, what is obvious to anybody. Feelings are sacrosanct, and anybody who makes my feelings not feel the way that I want to feel, or anybody who tells me my feelings are bad or wrong, there's probably no higher crime these days that can be committed. It's a worldview that it's been alive and well for centuries. It goes back, I'm sure, further than Jean-Jacques Rousseau, but he certainly was one of the chief proponents of letting the insides dictate the outsides. So Christianity comes along and says, no, you can't do that with your body. Oppressor, deconstruct, cast off. Get rid of them. And I think the reason is because they don't understand what God's rules are. Furthermore, I don't think that they understand who God is. And I don't think they, in fact, frankly, I fear many of us have kind of lost perhaps the core essence of who God is. Got to be careful with that, because all of his attributes are equal. There's not like more than others, but they're all grand and supreme. But I would argue, and I think I've got biblical support, that knowing that God so loved the world, in this is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation for our sins, because God is love. I don't think they've heard that as much as they should. And it doesn't mean that they were going to a church that was just, on and on about LGBTQ issues or railing on CRT. They probably just didn't hear it because we don't talk about it the way that we should. I think maybe, possibly, I shared this with you. I found that there was a little bit of a debate in the interaction between Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 26. Do you remember what Jesus said to Judas when he approached him with the cohort, which is probably about 600 soldiers? I mean, they wanted to get Jesus. They were going to make sure that they didn't drop this ball. So they send a Roman cohort, temple guards. It's a mingling of Roman and Jewish authorities because they had conspired together because of the threat and the danger of Jesus. For the Romans, it could mean insurrection and instability. For the Jewish people, the religious leaders, it could mean, hey, I'm not going to make as much money. Hey, I'm not going to get the accolades in the marketplace. They hated him. They hated Jesus. So they send this army led by Judas, who was going to identify this one with a kiss. What did Jesus say to him? Friend. By the way, that's another way that we can love an unlovable world. Jesus loved Judas? The one who betrayed him with a kiss? We got to study that. We don't have a hope of loving the world unless we see Jesus loving the worst of the world. Anybody worse than Judas Iscariot? Has anybody committed a greater crime than Judas Iscariot? I don't think so. I can't think of it. You think, well, but they've slaughtered people like when the Roman Catholic Church and the Crusades. Not even close to what Judas did by betraying his rabbi with a kiss. Oh, and there were a number of commentators who brought out, okay, got to be careful here with this word friend, because it isn't a warm, affectionate term. It's more like you were a companion. And they said it absolutely is, hey, what you're doing here, Judas, is bad. But it was also an act of love, calling Judas to come to his senses. Why? Because Jesus loved Judas Iscariot. Does anybody love Judas Iscariot? Jesus did. Now, fast forward. This is another possibility. Jesus is in the midst of this ridiculous trial. Preached about this on Sunday, that it was a total kangaroo court. This was like Montel Williams sitting in for Judge Judy, or Jerry Springer sitting in for whatever the judge is. There's another one. Who, Judge Judy, there's another one. What was that guy's name? He was the original one.
Judge Joe Brown.
Okay, sure. Let's just work with that.
He's from Memphis.
Local show, maybe. Caiaphas was the high priest. And his father-in-law, who had been the high priest, they were both Sadducees. They hated Jesus. And he was threatening their little temple business when he turned over the tables. And they sent the Roman cohort with the temple guards to arrest him with a predetermined verdict. He's going to be guilty of something. We just need to figure out how to do it. We just got to get him on something. And the text is fascinating. It says that the religious leaders, they sought false witnesses. That is illegal. You can't be a false witness. You could be killed for that. Actually, what you were supposed to receive, if you were a false witness, you were supposed to get the punishment that you wanted the person you're accusing of getting. So here it is. The religious leaders are pulling the string. They're the one propping up the false teachers. And we're told that they contradicted one another and they were making no traction on this because they couldn't find any dirt on him. What should have happened to the religious leaders? They should have been executed the way they wanted Jesus executed. Furthermore, do you remember when Caiaphas uttered that oath, by the word of the living God, I adjure you. So he's swearing to get Jesus to swear about what he wants to find him guilty on. You can't use blasphemous oaths. Check in the illegal box. Again, you weren't supposed to be trying a criminal at night. They did. You weren't supposed to be trying a criminal in your house. You were supposed to be a half a mile away on the Temple Mount. Everything about it was a farce. Everything about it was illegal. And Jesus, I think, in a last-ditch effort, says, I am God, and I'm going to return in the clouds and judge you. Was it a threat? Absolutely. But was it also an effort to reach Caiaphas? I think it was. Why? Because not only did Jesus love Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, he loved Caiaphas, the corrupt high priest who would condemn him. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to His people in the desert by providing manna, So Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some good news. You better brace you. We're not used to good news. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't we all use greater doses of good news these days? A good news story number one, if you recall, Baylor University. They found themselves in the social media frying pan when they accepted a grant of $630,000 to study LGBTQIA+ individuals in congregational settings. And everybody went, okay, it's a liberal organization that gave the money. They're trying to infiltrate another school in an attempt to try to persuade Christians to become more liberal. So more David French. Ah, Jimmy, could you just fill the time? I need to take a sip of my Fresco.
Okay, all right. You just go ahead and get a sip of the Fresco.
Something was stuck right there. Well, guess what? For whatever reason, good news, they're sending the money back. The letter was distributed from the office of the president to the Baylor family. And of course, it was made public because, hey, that's the era in which we live, isn't it? And so they write, "We remain committed to providing a loving and caring community for all, including our LGBTQIA+ students, because it is part and parcel of our university's mission that calls us to educate our students with a caring Christian community." Okay. Depends on how you do that, of course. If you never speak out and try to help them escape their entanglement in sin, well, that's not being accepting. That's being cruel. That's not speaking grace and truth. That's not speaking truth in love. And then the next paragraph started to make me go, uh-oh, this is going south. Baylor also continues to strongly uphold the principle of academic freedom. No, you're not just going to try to find a little out. But then along came this paragraph, which I think should make us at least feel a little good for a while. "Please be assured that Baylor's institutional beliefs and policies remain unchanged. Our commitment to our Christian mission and our historic Baptist identity continues to guide our approach to academic student life and spiritual formation." I'm not a fan of that term. "We affirm the biblical understanding of human sexuality as a gift from God." Okay, we're getting warm. "Expressed through purity in singleness." Okay, doing better. "And fidelity in marriage." Yeah. "Between a man and a woman." You did it. Way to go, Baylor University. You did it. So for the moment, let's receive that as good news and hope it doesn't happen again. Good news story number two. It's kind of connected to a bad news story, unfortunately. I was just reading an article in the Christian Post headline, "Professing Christians are more addicted to porn than ever." Survey says, I think these numbers are all low. Honestly, I do. 2024 report, Pure Desire Ministries, 54% of practicing Christians, they consume pornography. I think the number is, but that's all Christians. I think that could even be male and female. Pastors, super big problem. And it's not just men, it's women. 25% of women and 54% of men are said to engage in semi-frequent to habitual porn use. Okay. I'm sorry to say this, but when somebody confesses or they get busted for watching porn and they say, I watch it 2 times a month, just multiply that number times like 50 because they never exaggerate looking at it too much. It's always underrepresented. And how many Christians are willing to fill in some poll admitting that they look at pornography? Statistics show a clear majority of evangelical pastors in the United States have watched pornography at some point in their life. About 20% confess to be currently engaging in it. Frio, where's the good news? Did you hear about Play the Man? We launched this just, I think, about a week ago, give or take. I wrote a booklet called Play the Man. It is helping young men understand that there are better things, and the better things are God things. Because if a man who is digging his porn doesn't have a substitute waiting in the wings to replace his current passions, He's going to return to his former paramour every single time. And so the book is really about the expulsive power of new affections. And it, of course, has the law, it has the gospel, it true and false conversions. But it also, I think, paints a clear picture of what men who are watching porn look like, what they could look like, who they're currently serving and who they could be serving, to give them some. That's what I want. I want Jesus in his way. That is the better thing. That's what the book attempts to accomplish. And along the way, it provides tools, memorizing Bible verses, being genuinely accountable, radical amputation if necessary. If you cannot stop watching porn on your cell phone, throw it in a lake. No, don't throw it in a lake, because you'll be tempted to go find it and dive and dredge the bottom of the lake so that you can have your... Smash it. Get rid of the... Cut it off. Pluck out that eye. And if you're not willing to do that, by the way, you're probably in danger. You have got to do radical things. And there are other tools, certainly. And it all should be done in the context of a local church. If you're not in a local church, dude, you will forever be in danger. And so I wrote the book, got all formatted, real cool and nifty looking. And we've got it. Now we've also recorded it. So we've got an audio and a video version. It's not quite done yet, but it will be come August 1st. And we encouraged you to get the QR code cards that we prepared that we will send to you for free, so that you can go to a university campus or wherever young men can be found and pass out a card with a QR code. Here comes the good news.
You're doing it.
I don't know that I remember seeing 350 folks. I think maybe 400. I don't know. Hundreds of people are committed to distributing these cards. That should be encouraging, that there are individuals willing to go out. Look, it's an effort. It's a thing. You got to go to the campus. You got to figure out the parking. Then you got to deal with that horrible parking system. Man, you know where you got to figure, you got to use your phone for the QR code. And then there's something involving Apple Pay as an option, whatever that means. And then you can put in a credit card in your time. Oh, wait a second. You don't know your license plate. Mwahaha. Go back in. It's just the most frustrating thing. Yeah, that's a part of going to a campus. And hundreds of people are willing to do it. So salute to them. If you would like to join them, you still can. We're going to be talking about this just during the month of July. That's how you say it in the South. July, like insurance, as opposed to the right way of insurance. July. You can order them for free. They come in packs of 250. We'll even pay for the shipping. All you have to endure is the parking lot QR code nightmare, and you are on your way. By the way, Jimmy, I got to tell you something.
What's that?
With the phone and the technology and everything else, we lost our electricity a few nights ago in the storm.
Oh, at your house. Not while you were preaching.
I love living in the South. I really do. Like you. There was a little delay there for me. Sorry about that. We're sitting in the basement, and it was like, bang, it just one popped up, and all of a sudden the lights went bloop, 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 and it's like, here we go again. Hey, South, bury the lines, okay? Learn a little something from the North. Bury the power lines.
I think a lot of my neighborhood's lines are buried.
No.
Uh-huh, they are.
Well, most of Atlanta isn't. And it's really unfortunate, because it's a lovely city and the trees. It's just, love this place. But those power lines, and we're losing the electricity, and it was about a 2-hour stint. So, you know, you start thinking about your food going bad, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get food poisoning again, not to make it all about me, but, well, frankly, I think it is. And then we're thinking about the issue, you know, tomorrow, what, we won't even have an alarm clock. Can we get up? And then it was like, what do we do? So I go walking into a room, flip the switch on the wall. Oh, yeah. I can't do that either. You can't read a book. You can't. Even the cell service gets knocked out and goofy. It's like, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. Somebody knocks out the grid, we are in big trouble. We are in big trouble as a nation. And a big part of the problem is people are going to be freaking out because they can't get to their social media. 2 hours for us and we were kind of climbing the walls. What would happen if we lost the grid? Well, if your electricity is working, order your cards, fortisinstitute.org/playtheman, and join hundreds of people. Here's some more good news for you. Transformed Season 4, Episode 2 dropped. Hey, and just a shout out. We did a video to announce that every single week at fortisplus.org, it's all free there. We're dropping a new episode of Transformed Season 4. And you know, I think we maybe made it sound like it could possibly be tabloidish. It's not. It's not. It's real people going through real stuff. This isn't phony drama. These are real people having marital issues that are being counseled by Dr. Lou Priolo. Please check it out. Just check it out and see what you think. We think it's awesome and we think it's helpful. And the good news is a new episode is available every week. So you can see Ahmad and Tiffany struggling with infidelity and the great Dr. Lou Priolo helping them. Did I mention it's all free? That's good news too. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.